2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos, Anton Bettis taking your calls this morning, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We are coming to you from the Ovation Homes subdivision. It's called the Cottages at Harvest Fields. It's in West Point, and it's just a beautiful home. So we hope you come to the open house this morning. How many calls do you think we get each week, Ton, about bindweed? I mean, it's kind of the perpetual problem. We wanted to start the hour just kind of talking about
bindweed. If you took top five topics, the tomato questions and bindweed would compete for numbers one and two.
I mean, it's just amazing to me how many texts or questions we get about bindweed. So we wanted to feature that in our 10 o'clock feature here. So give us some ideas. You have done a couple of great videos on bindweed, and I know that Carlos has put them up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. About begin talking about what you do if you have bindweed in a flower bed or a garden or something like that.
Well, bindweed is native to the Middle East. It is native to arid environments similar to what we experience in the arid West. Anywhere from cooler areas such as Logan to hot areas such as Death Valley are the kinds of areas that bindweed is native mm-hmm. to. So it's at its worst in the United States here in the West. And it came in really, I don't know the exact date, but it started to become a problem in the 1920s and 30s. Mm-hmm. And there were farmers that lost their farms to bindweed. And so it's a bad problem. And so you're never going to totally get rid of it because the seed can last in the soil anywhere from 10 to upwards of 50 years. And then it spreads by roots and shoots.
Which is why it's a perpetual problem.
It is, and it roots very deeply. And so it'll root up to 12 feet deep, but roots as deep as 6 or 8 feet can generate new plants, even if you take the tops out. So my theory is that if Satan could invent a weed, this is one that would be kind of a success in his evil weed lab. So
it's working.
It's working.
So it's made us say a lot of bad words in the past.
Yeah, it has. And so getting rid of bindweed over the last 20 years, there's been some newer herbicides that have come out that are especially useful for lawns. So on a lawn, you can use a lawn weed killer containing quinclorac. So Q4 Plus is one. Ortho's Weed Be Gone with Crabgrass Control is another. Roundup has a branded lawn weed killer, which I get frustrated with Roundup because they've turned it into a brand. And when I think of Roundup, it kills everything and people can get into trouble. But if you can find the Roundup branded lawn weed killer, that one also, I believe, has quinclorac in it. Quinclorac will give you about a 50 to 80% kill on one application in the fall if it's done correctly. for lawns, that's going to be the quickest thing. But the other thing we need to look at is, why do you have a lot of bindweed in your lawn? Because healthy turf doesn't completely outcompete it, but it goes a really long way towards outcompeting it. Mm-hmm. And so we need to look at your mowing height, if you have compacted soil, frequency and depth of irrigation, and then fertilizer. You don't want to over-fertilize, but a healthy, well-managed lawn, bindweed is almost unnoticeable.
So we're back to maintenance. If you
we
take
really
care
are.
Of it to begin with,
you know,
it won't
I be as for big a somebody
problem.
That has exercised their entire life and eaten healthy and gotten enough sleep, you know, long term, as they age, they're more likely to be both physically and mentally healthier than someone like me that loves Twinkies and soda pop and things of those that nature. So it just, it goes back to health. But in flower beds, that's a different story, because you can't go put lawn weed killer in your flower bed unless you want to start over. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just starting from scratch. So in those situations, we have a second video explaining how to use Roundup or a glyphosate product to get bindweed out of your flower beds. And the process is to get the vines. And so if you need to, and it's a little late, we should have done this 6 weeks ago, but pull all the vines out of the shrubs and the flowers to within a couple inches of the ground and let them regrow. But you still should be able to get enough of the vines now that you want to get a good bunch of them 6 to 8 inches long and put them in a gallon Ziploc and seal the Ziploc with the vines attached to the ground, to the root system, so there's Ziplocs laying on the ground. You're going to get a small, like 2-quart or 1-quart sprayer, and mix some Roundup in there according to instructions. With that bindweed sealed in the bag, you spray, make a little hole just about 1/3 of an inch wide, just enough to get the tip of the sprayer in, and you spray that glyphosate into the bag until you have enough in there to wet the bindweed thoroughly. You might need to rub the bindweed around a little bit to get contact with it all. Mm-hmm. Cover that bag with an old towel or cardboard and kind of secure it so it doesn't blow away, because that clear plastic bag will heat up and kill those vines, just scorch them. You want those vines cool so that they remain green, and you leave this bag on for a day. Next day, go out, you can take them off, but what will happen is that bindweed absorbs and absorbs that glyphosate, and it gets deeper and deeper into the root system. And using this method, just with one treatment, you can get rid of a lot of bindweed out of flower beds. But the video's up explaining both how to spray for lawns and for flower beds.
And I should tell folks, if you don't have Facebook, we put all of this information on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. If you don't have Facebook, I mean, there are people who just don't like it, you can go to YouTube, and we do have a channel on YouTube, the KSL Greenhouse does, and you can find all of our videos there as well. This morning we are coming to you from West Point. We are with Ovation Homes at the Cottages at Harvest Fields, and Amber is back with us and here to tell us about this wonderful open house that you have today. I'm starting to see a few people wander through.
Yes, good morning everyone. It's really great to have people start to come through. In fact, we just brought in our cute little, in honor of the KSL Greenhouse,
oh,
we're giving away these cute little succulents. Aren't those so cute. So we're giving those away to folks that come and visit us today, and just to come enjoy this beautiful model home, and then hopefully within the next few minutes get a chance to see you guys too.
Right. So they can come before 11. You'll be open till 11. Then you're going to take a break for an hour. You'll be back from noon to 4 if they can't make it in that quickly.
Yeah, we'll definitely still be here if they happen to come during that time. We will be here all day, but we're going to be shifting a little bit. We're going to be doing some homemade cookies the rest of the afternoon. So
Ooh.
Breakfast is still on the counter if folks want to come get a few bites to eat, but this afternoon we're going to be doing some cookies.
I've been wandering around and I love the pantry, the walk-in pantry, because I can't find anything in my pantry. I mean, I open the cupboard and I just look in there and go, oh,
yeah,
things are just stuffed in the back and you can't see what's in there. Talk about the design of this home. It's really awesome because your pantry's open, but you can't see into it, which is kind of
different. This particular pantry, we just call it an L-shaped pantry, and we chose to do the butler pantry application, which means that we've carried the cabinetry on the lower level and then the countertop in on the first leg of the L, I guess, if you will, and then for the long leg, as you turn the corner there, you just have, you know, floor-to-ceiling shelving that is deep enough that you can put some good storage in there without being so deep that you can't reach it.
Can't see it.
Well, and when you walk back there, just the actual counter space. You know what? In any given time, I will have a Mixmaster, a bread maker, an air fryer, and to Instapot. Just have, yeah, the Instapot. And we use them regularly, but to have that counter space, there is so much counter space in here as compared to a regular kitchen. And then you go around the corner, and that butler's pantry, just where you would store the food, is as big as many people's food room in their basements, the old-fashioned food rooms.
Absolutely.
So there's just so much space.
It is. I always tell folks that it's the butler's pantry that keeps your kitchen Instagram ready, right?
Mm-hmm. No
so
doubt
you can
about
hide
that,
everything
right?
in the pantry.
Yeah, but it kind of fits the design of what you've tried to do here to keep it open and make the rooms feel spacious and big, but yet have a lot of storage areas.
Yeah, and what we've done, especially with this home, I've personally got a client that is in a wheelchair. He had an accident a few years ago, and so it put him in a wheelchair, and they're getting ready to start that retirement phase. And so what we did is in this particular home is we made sure that going into the pantry, it was wide enough for that wheelchair to fit. But then also as he turned the corner to get into the shelving, making sure that that shelving was spaced enough to, you know, and so that's just some of the things that we do, you know, to help personalize our homes here at Ovation. We're not per se a custom home builder. We can do custom homes, but mostly what we've done, because we've refined it for so many years, is we have clients that have said, well, do this or do this, and everybody seems to love it. So they just, you know, take that option or this option or that type of thing. So every home that we build is slightly a little different based upon the options that you can choose from.
Well, I even like the appliances. You know, a gas, you don't get the starter home electric glass top range that you're going to break if you put too much weight on. You've got
a
really nice gas stovetop plus dual ovens, microwave, mm-hmm. fridge that's easily accessible. You know, just even the appliances in here are so suited to the idea of an active lifestyle after the age of 55.
Yeah, absolutely. We've created some pretty amazing spaces for folks over the years under the brand of Ovation, as I mentioned, and even some that have chose to go on a custom build with us. We always say, okay, well, you know, what can you do if you take this plan and kind of put it on steroids? And so we have done, as I mentioned, extended showers and all sorts of different things based upon a person's lifestyle and
right.
what's important to them in retirement.
Well, I walked the main floor, two bedrooms, both of them have ready access to a restroom and a bathroom area so you can get ready for the day, but it's just right off. And like you said, it is designed for accessibility.
It absolutely is. In fact, when you're ready, we will develop a plan that has a greenhouse option
that
is fully
so
accessible.
Awesome.
Oh, we can, go
we can
on
make
on,
that
right?
happen. Yeah. Yes.
We want you to come out and see this beautiful home, though. You can find it. It's easy. It's in West Point. Just go west on Antelope Drive to 4000 West. Turn right or north and go to 1200 South and turn left. Look for all the signs. You'll see signs and you'll see the KSL van. We're coming back with your calls, your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 5750.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you this morning, taking your calls 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. I think this is my favorite question of the day, Tom, because this kind of fits my personality. This person has asters. They think they're asters, but they want to know how to make them stand up and not fall over. They'd like them to be more like mums.
Well,
I have the same problem.
Yeah, mums will fall over too.
Yes, depending on the variety.
A lot of it depends on the variety. When you buy asters and mums from garden centers, they've been pinched regularly to keep their size down, and sometimes they have a growth hormone used on them to keep the size down. Mm-hmm. So what you're going to look for are varieties that stay shorter. An 18-inch tall variety is much less likely to flop over than one that gets 3 feet. So you need to look for the size. But overwatering and too much nitrogen also can cause them to get lanky and gangly and fall over. And so many of our asters are actually relatively drought hardy, not all of them. But once they're established, weekly watering to 6 inches is sufficient. And then just if you need to, one fertilization in the spring will generally get them through.
Now, I had heard that you could cut these back. Like if you cut them back in late spring, that they would still
You can pinch them like you would a mum. So you would go in, and as they start to grow and they're a foot to 18 inches tall sometime mid to late June, mm-hmm. you can just lightly give them a haircut or okay. just, if you want to be more delicate, where all the stems are, the growing point at the end, you would pinch the growing point out. Not all the leaves and everything, but just the growing point at the very tip. They will go sideways for three or four weeks and then start to grow out again. You could pinch them one more time in early, late July.
And they'll still bloom.
And they'll still bloom, but don't pinch them past late July.
Okay, and the other thing is there are so many beautiful stakes now, creative ways that people have been staking things. So check out some of those options since you haven't pinched them back, obviously.
Yeah, and the other thing to look for, especially with mums, is you want to plant garden mums. Mm-hmm. And the garden mums are bred to stay shorter. It doesn't mean they won't flop over, but they are bred to stay shorter so that they're less likely to.
Next listener says they've put down the black fabric from the garden supply store to plant tomatoes, and they say it didn't last even a month. They say, what is it used for? Because they still have a whole roll of this stuff.
Many of the less expensive fabrics are meant to have things put over the top like mulch. And so if you just lay it out flat, many of them are not UV resistant. If you can get, I know DeWitt makes some different varieties of that fabric that will be UV resistant that you mm-hmm. can use for a few years on the ground, but you need to make sure that it says UV resistant.
Next person says they think they have verticillium wilt in their garden. It looked beautiful until mid to late August, but now there are mini pumpkins and cucumbers. They look about dead. Would it wait to come out that late?
Sounds like squash bugs to me.
Okay.
It could be verticillium, but if those are the only plants that died.
It said tomatoes, too.
Tomatoes, too. Well, mm-hmm. maybe not. I still am wondering if they had squash bugs mm-hmm. in there. And if tomatoes are going down, if they have planted the squash plants, the cucumbers, the tomatoes in the same spot annually for years, it definitely could be verticillium.
So they have a very small garden that they can't rotate much. So they had the same issue last year. They're wondering if they can dig out most of the soil and then put clear plastic over it for a season. Would that maybe help get rid of it?
I wouldn't dig the soil out. I would just put the clear plastic over it and do it in mid-May and then take it off in mid-October and then start mm-hmm. gardening the next year.
Okay. Next person says they planted a pink hydrangea last spring. It's about 24 inches now. How do they prepare it to make sure it lives through the winter? They live in Smithfield.
Well, they need to get some holy water. And then
here we go. Satan earlier, holy water now.
Yes, and then maybe find some holy people to pray around it.
Stop.
Well, those pink hydrangeas are just a little tougher to get to go. And so all they can really do is leave it alone. And I think it's a variety that most likely blooms off one-year-old wood, so they don't really want to do a lot of pruning on it.
Mm-hmm. So I did have one year, and when it was small, I did cover it with you know how you harvest peaches and they have those kind of crates, they're kind of a light thing, and I put that over mm-hmm. it. And that worked to protect it, but you have to make sure it gets water.
You really do. So these hydrangeas, the blue and pink hydrangeas, are just harder to take care of here. and there's no magic fertilizer. They can try covering it with like a wicker or one of those old-fashioned bushel baskets or a half bushel mm-hmm. basket and see if that helps get it through to get it more established. But when I see those, about one-third of them do well, and then one-third kind of do okay, and one-third die.
Take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Number to call 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.